SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From the fairgrounds in New Orleans. A very good Thursday, race fans, and a happy Valentine's Day. And yes, yeah, it's live. Yes. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, and at the website too, stevebeck.com. Deep, sincere apologies. This was about as, you get these. These little technical hiccups. Monday, that was the strangest thing in Vegas. Woke up in Vegas on Monday and got all excited. I'm going to have two really nice days to wrap everything up and dot all the I's and cross the T's from the weekend and then turn our attention to New Orleans and go to plug in. We had finished broadcasting the 7-hour marathon on Sunday, and nothing. Dead. Dead is Dillinger. Dead is Kelso's nuts. Just ridiculous. And I had to send the equipment to Indianapolis. And I thought, okay, well, we'll be all right. By Wednesday, we'll be fine. And because the nice company we work with, Tyline, that makes the equipment, they sent me a something very new and actually and modern. And I had trouble here at Fairgrounds yesterday. And by the time we got things straightened out, it was 10 of 12. No, we were going to do a 10-minute show. So we're going to somehow fit, I don't know, we're going to have to fit 12 hours Monday through Thursday show into today. And we got lots of news, tons of news, and plenty of wrap-up yet that I want to get to, and some things that have come out, both good and bad, the last several days. So we'll do it all, and we'll get Johnny in here. I want to get Johnny for his weekend recap, including how he fared at Gulfstream on the Rainbow distribution. And there's a lot of really great stories, actually. And I was just knocked sideways by the big price winner in that first leg. And if you were listening to the Saturday show, I find it very frustrating when the results are there's nothing wrong with with prices, obviously, but when when the build up to those distributions comes along, okay, yeah, third choice, fourth choice, fifth choice, sixth choice, the prices, that's great, it's going to make the thing worthwhile. But when you get a horse that's going to knock out, 85% of the play, that's a tough result. And I've been reading our friend Tony Infante down in Tampa Tony, when he used to call the show. Tony hit, and people are explaining what they did. A lot of people took the all approach in that maiden 12-5, and that may be one of the lessons. I mean, obviously, unless you're a syndicate or a big operation, when it comes to let's say $2 pick six carryovers, the all is very, very hard. But that sequence, when you look back and you see and you think about the Peter Brandt, Chad Brown nightcap winner, and you think about Global Campaign, it really was a sequence where you could stand in a couple of places and spread very widely in the more challenging spots. And certainly the first two legs, were the challenge. The rest of it was, the two potential singles. So an interesting discussion. We'll see what Johnny thought, and we'll get some conversation in. Kathleen O'Connell going to join us, and just as well, because Kathleen couldn't visit early in the week. So We got an opportunity here this morning in the first hour. I expect that Pete will slip in and we'll get his final thoughts about the weekend. And Dave Weaver, ice cold, yeah, ice cold Dave Weaver. If you hadn't followed the coverage of the NHC, the Sunday consolation, you know, once you get to the point where, you know, we're into the semifinal and everybody that was eliminated, you know, which is, you know, basically 90%, 600 players on Sunday, they're playing those same 32 races that the semifinalists are playing in a conso. And Dave Weaver won the conso. And a big cheer went up, actually, when Keith Shamblin announced the winner, and a lot of respect for you know, for Dave and his opinion, and he's got, you know, he's got a great following on TVG, and he was going to come by, and I don't know what happened. We never I saw him early in the week, maybe Thursday or Friday. Said got to get you on, so we're going to talk to Dave maybe today, maybe tomorrow, and if it's tomorrow, we'll get some opinions from him as well. About the weekend, and even though we're trying to catch up on everything that went on, should mention, you know, the card here Saturday, and I can't wait till Marcus Hirsch sits with me and we go through this. Actually, up in the press box today, and which I'd never been until yesterday. So the card, of course, for Saturday is just spectacular. There are some pieces of news you may have heard, may have not. Quip is not coming, so his return to the race is delayed. He's going to look to the Harlan's Holiday at Gulfstream rather than run from that 13 hole in the mineshaft. And Baffert bypassed as well because chasing yesterday from the 10 hole in the Rachel Alexandra, and Kingley from the 13 hole in the Risen Star, not interested. And, you know, we'll talk about it, particularly with Marcus, and probably Frank McGoey is going to join us tomorrow as well. The local professional horse player and brother of Pat McGoey, of course, two-time BCBC winner. We'll talk about those wide posts and how difficult it's going to be, because not only are you going to have to negotiate the Risen Star and deal with not just War of Will from the, he's going to be wearing the 14, but he's going to leave from the 13 now. Gunnet, Steve Asmussen expects, is going to go ahead and run. He wants to run Gunnet. And not only do you have to worry about the 14 post, the 13, the 12, the 11, I was looking at the stats. The numbers are dreadful for everything from the nine post out. In routes of a mile or over at the meet, the nine hole, 0 for 36, the 10 hole, 0 for 22. There was a winner from the 11 hole, 1 for 12, and then 1 for 11, I should say, the 11 hole, 1 for 12, and then the 12 hole, 0 for 4. So, not appetizing for being outposted here, going the mile and a 16th in the Risen Star. And, you know, the horses that you're dealing with here, Country House is going to leave from the 9, Limonite from the 10, Dunf is the 11, Frolicmore the 12, War of Will leaving from the 13, and Gunnet, number 15, leaving from the 14. So the outside, those outside posts, we'll see what everybody who watches and wagers here locally, what their thoughts are about the possibility. And frankly, when it comes to the, you got that second level turf allowance going as the 8th, you got 14 horses in there going a mile and 16th on the grass, and the turf numbers are not much better for the outside posts either. Little bit, 2 for 71, that 3%, 2 for 53 from the 10, 0 for 16 from the 12. There have been four winners in the 10 hole, which is interesting. 11% somehow, 38 starts. But, I mean, if you're a deep closer, that's fine. And of course, you got the long stretch here on both the main track and the turf course to deal with, which helps if you're needing to pick off horses late. So there's a lot to look forward to. You've got just ridiculous deep races virtually start to finish, and it's going to be a lot of fun here. And the weather's going to be good. That's the best part. Weather looks okay. For those of you that, let me get a few things in here before the break. For those of you that didn't get a chance to join us over the weekend, and I mean, if you tuned in on Monday, that's one of the reasons when Casey and I had to make a decision on Monday. We gave you the last 3 hours of Sunday's coverage, and I think everything, Casey, is everything up now? All 3 days worth of the extravaganza? I know Saturday and Sunday was up. Casey had to do quite a bit of pruning and editing to get all the NHC hours, 20 hours of coverage, up on the website. But if you somehow missed everything, Chicagoland 34-year-old future trader Scott Coles won the NHC, and there is no doubt that the storyline, and something we'll talk about, I may bring it up with Johnny too, the biggest story for me coming out of NHC, the 30-ish horse players that dotted the top 10, and not just their age, their career interests, their businesses. Scott Coles, future trading. How about Matt Volvoji from the Albany area? New York Life, actuary kind of a job, analyst. John Pinder, who had a terrific contest. He joined us on the broadcast from Texas, from San Antonio. He also analyst. There's no doubt that there's a whole class of potential player out there that the game would appeal to and does appeal to once introduced. And it's the area where we have should be focusing. And it's been brought up before, but the problem-solving, the puzzle-solving mindset and aptitude, those are the people that we just focus in and get them to the races, and they love it. They you know what? The money's almost, when you talk to them, the money is almost secondary. The financial benefits, that's gravy. They like solving the puzzle using data and figuring it out. You heard the Robin Howlett conversation from the other day too, and same mentality. Let's take a quick break. We're in New Orleans. It's great to be here. Great to be back with you. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
On a different road, I'm in the Milky Way. You want me down on Earth, but I am up in space. You're so damn hard to please. We gotta kill this switch. You're from the 70s, but I'm a 90s bitch. I love it!
Back, Icona Pop, and back here at Fairgrounds. And, you know, I thought that we'd been here 2 years ago for Risen Star, but now I realize, only because it's Valentine's Day, and we were here for Valentine's Day with Tina, and she'll be here on Friday night, it was actually 3 years ago. I'm losing it. Gunrunner. I guess that's right. Cause Gunrunner won. And, we had Amos. I don't think we can get Amos to give us the 40-1 winner, of the Rachel this year. Cause he's a much shorter price, this year. Although she does have to right the ship a little bit, Serengeti Empress. She's 6-1. That was the trip where we had Amos come on, I think, Wednesday or Thursday and explain why he entered a 30-1 shot. And, next thing you knew, a couple of people, in fact, I think it was Ray Arsenault, speaking of NHC, I think it was Ray that qualified for something, either for BCBC or NHC because of that conversation and that giant cash. But great to be here. And, it's such a unusual and special town and so gorgeous. It's crazy. If you like architecture and design and style, it's just a magical town, and love coming here. Let's talk a little bit, and we're going to talk to Kathleen O'Connell in 20 minutes and talk to her about Well Defined. And it, you know, 7-1, it's an upset. certainly, from a dollar and cents standpoint, but it not from, you know, not from where Kathleen sat, I don't think. She's had confidence, and, you know, we talked when he was a two-year-old, we talked plenty about well-defined, and then, you know, at the end of the year, things didn't, you know, go as planned, and, you know, can't lose confidence, and in this particular case, he set up the pace for the Sam Davis and never looked back, and there was not, it didn't, there was a point in that race, but just watching, you know, from Vegas, when they were going into the turn, and I, you know, I said to myself, thinking to myself, they're not going to get this horse. He was just moving too smoothly and efficiently, and got to be excited for the Campbells with their homebred. And for fans of horses that are going to stick around, he's a gelding. So you're going to get all the well-defined you could want. You want to latch onto a horse and follow him? Here's your chance. And he's not going to stud after the Triple Crown season. Kentucky Wildcat, of course, was also part of the story, and the two of them were well clear of everything else. Although So Alive, you're not going to give up hope yet on So Alive, who was dawdling early and then, you know, kind of came alive and was moving well late. And so when we go to a mile and an eighth, So Alive might still have a little to say. But meanwhile, Kentucky Wildcat, of course, pulled up afterward with a congealer and had surgery on Monday in Ocala, and apparently everything went well. But that's a really bitter pill, because given how well Kentucky Wildcat ran here off of his December maiden win, you know, the Tappet Godolphin homebred out of Better Lucky, and feel terrible for Tom Albertrani. And I'm sure, you know, it wasn't displaced, right? I didn't see the final analysis, but I don't think it was displaced. So, some screws and we'll see. But, meanwhile, the horse that has to regroup and figure things out, haven't seen Ben Colbrook's thoughts other than, you know, live to fight another day type quotes, but K-Nick's Go, that was really not the way you wanted to start this three-year-old campaign. So, and of course, there's some recapping to do as well about the Kentucky Derby future wager, which went sideways on some people right away, because if we're going to stick with three-year-old conversations for now very quickly on the boys' side, on Sunday in that San Vicente, Sparkyville, the upset over Desmond, and in a Coliseum, you were warned, and I think anybody that listened last week, you knew that Desmond was the Baffert that was going to run well. And he did, wet track to deal with and so forth, but, nothing wrong with Sparkyville's performance. The candy ride, for Jeff Bondi. And there's a wonderful story. Jessica Martini, who of course we're so used to talking to about the sales scene, she wrote a wonderful story about the Del Secos, John Del Seco and his father and Sparkyville, happy for Bondi. Who was dancing? Did you see his dance moves post race? I did look up and catch that. Joel Rosario, doing quite nice out there, and, you know, picking up. He's got Ron Anderson poaching live mounts. We have to get to Bondi. I haven't talked to Jeff in too long. Other three-year-olds, let's stick with the three-year-olds, and we'll bounce around a little bit to try to catch up. The fillies, George Weaver, the Dream Weaver. Here's George and Point of Honor in that Suncoast, and she was really good, really, really good. And you know, sometimes you get mojo horses where everybody, you know, the morning line comes out and, you know, there's a horse that is third choice or, you know, whatever. And everybody kind of sees right through it and gravitates right to the right horse. And they did when it came to Point of Honor. The Curlin filly, bred by Fountainhead Production Facility, Sienna Farm. This is Aaron Wellman and Stetson Racing and all the Eclipse partners. This is a nice, nice filly. And I've exchanged. George has had a busy week. He's been up in Ocala with clients looking at babies and so forth. So we'll catch up with George. Always fun. And when we do, we want to get an update on Vekoma. But Point of Honor gets bet down to favoritism, 5-2, and beats Lady Kate, who ran a very nice race in her second start for Eddie Keneally and the Anderson stable people. And this is an expensive Keeneland Yearling, a Bernardini out of Princess Haya, the Street Cry that was John Sheriff's, if I'm not mistaken. And Lady Kate, very kind of different about the way this race was run. Lady Kate, who came from off the pace at Gulfstream in January to win at six, now she stretches to a mile and 40 and found herself on the lead. And ran a very credible second in here. Fig-wise, we should note, in fact, well-defined, 93 buyer, 82 for Point of Honor. And the two-year-old, the whole card was fun at Tampa on Saturday. Hawksmoor wins at 3-2 and, came late, got extracted by Castellano, and then had to defend late when Viva Vegas, who I really keyed and bet on Saturday. If you were listening to the show on Saturday, to the NHC I keep calling it a telecast, the NHC show, I thought Viva Vegas was going to get Hawksmoor, but to no avail. It still did okay, but not would have been a lot happier if Viva Vegas had gotten by. And as always, Nacho Correas he's money. Hawksmoor, though, the six-year-old, she starts her season quite nicely. And she also kind of switched things up a little bit. We've been used to seeing her kind of on and near the lead, but she came from off the pace in here. And then the other stake that we got to touch on from Tampa, Inspector Lindley, who that I at some point, we won't talk to Shug this week. We'll wait till something else. Shug's going to start to have quite a few keep winning him. He's already off to a good start. But Inspector Lindley, is a favorite of mine. And what a strange race. When he was up close going into the turn, then he started to basically back out of it, and he left the picture. I'm like, ugh, because I thought, okay, this was going to be a chance to maybe help the multi race wagers, the Naira cross country pick five, or the Tampa pick four, etc. And then all of a sudden he comes back rallying and wins, and wins, with a little authority. I thought he was a chicken in a pot. The six-year-old, and he's still a horse. And as we've talked with Shug, Shug would love to get him an opportunity somewhere to stand. And Lemon Drop Kid out of Criminologist, Stu Janney and the Phippses, and I like it. He's one of my favorites, Inspector Lindley. So a really fun day, and if they they call it Tampa Bay Derby Preview Day, and it's if it bodes for what lies ahead in March, and we'll be there actually for it ahead of the HBPA convention. So that was your Tampa action. We'll save the Gulfstream conversation for Johnny, although Global Campaign, of course, with authority and as he pleased. If I was a chart caller, that would be the note that you know, I would put on for global campaign. And, you know, even though the fig came back a little bit on the light side, he could not have won any easier, made the two-turn transition, and now Stanhoff talking about, you know, maybe the Fountain of Youth, potentially. And of course, you know, by the way, I didn't get a chance during the show. I think we laughed about it for 2 seconds. There was so much going on. But how about Hembree winning the El Prado hours before, of course, or the day before Dave Goodfriend had told that story about leaving him off a ticket. That was very funny. There was also the upset, I should mention, Kelly Breen and Epic Racing. The New Jersey bred valedictorian up front, Tyler Gaffalione, lulled them to sleep, and Rybka at 1-5 was left with too much to do. And she, you know, she tried to come running under her ad, but no avail. And valedictorian, a 21-20 winner, a rare miscue for Rad Ortiz and the very nice Rybka, as she made her seasonal debut coming out of the Matriarch. And of course she had returned you know, successfully last fall, winning the Athena, but a little bit too far back early, and you know, basically valedictorian, I mean, you go 116-3, you're going to be tough to catch, right? Yeah, that's what's going to happen, undoubtedly. When you know, if there's nobody, either nobody recognizes what's going on, or there just isn't any other speed. That's what you get. So that's what you got. We'll talk more Gulfstream with Johnny. Quick hit at Aqueduct. The Jimmy Wingfield, if you didn't see it, was pretty entertaining. And Heichel for Kieran McLaughlin, Heichel in a thriller over Jovia, the Greg Sacco, and of course Sacco pointing mind control for his seasonal debut in the Gotham. And here's another. Here's another three-year-old that Greg Sacco's handling. And I know he was a little, Chris DiCarlo and Greg Sacco, a little, yeah, not irked, but they just, they would have liked to have won that. I can understand, because Jovia ran a nice race. But Heichel, that was coming, what, was it earlier? I can't remember. And I don't have it in front of me, but I think it was the second start? I think it was the second start. Actually, here we go. I'm going to tell you right away. Because we got to that race late on Friday and really had not had a chance to, yeah, a third start. Heichel's third start. Had broken the maiden in December at Aqueduct going six, and it was the second start for Jovia. So very nice, the top finishers in here. They both were sharp. That Tick Van Flue went favored, and I get it, I guess, you know, coming off the 79 Beyer 7 furlong win in his first start, Jeff Bloom, Steve Asmussen, Toby Sheets in New York, but really wasn't a factor. It was basically chasing Jovia, and then Heichel came scurrying up late to win, and they called it a neck, and it was great. You also had the Biagio's Rose on Sunday, Frosty Ann for Rudy Rodd and company, awfully nice. And at Oaklawn, Hartwood, another favorite, James Chapman and Davey Cohen and the King Cotton. And before I forget, going all the way back to Friday, there was that debut to mention, the Monomoy girl brother, Cowboy Diplomacy, and went off at 3-2, which was aggressive because Captain Von Trapp, the Asmussen Phoenix trap shot colt, really was a deserving favorite. And it was the debut for Cowboy Diplomacy, and certainly the Pocket Aces, Sal Cumin partnered Tapizar Colt ran very credibly. Captain Von Trapp, though, with authority at 2-1, and can't ever miss an opportunity to note, bred by Bo Lane the third. We love Bo, and he makes a nice horse, Captain Von Trapp. And, of course, The Sound of Music. Do you ever go to the Trap? Anybody ever go to Stowe? Are you skiers? You go up to Stowe, Vermont, to the Trapp Family Lodge. Stayed there once when I was very young. My parents took me up, and I was the world's worst child to take skiing. There was nothing about it I enjoyed. The boots hurt. The I'm hot, and the bulky clothing, and the falling, and the ice in the face, and it just I hated it. Later on, I got okay. I hated it less. I never loved it. I'll tell you that. I was a fetchy kid. What am I? I'll be honest. Oh boy! There also, of course, was the California stuff, and we'll get we got to get that in very quickly. Platinum Warrior, and this was an interesting scenario. John Sadler and Zhang Yusheng, the owner, this horse is obviously going to be a player going forward. He had been, you know, just kind of a mid-pack performer, gotten beaten 3, 4, 5, 6 lengths in tough spots in his North American races between November and January. He tried the Twilight Derby, the Hollywood Derby, and the San Gabriel. The San Gabriel, it was pretty darn competitive when reunited with Shane Foley, and they did that again. And Foley had success with him in Europe at the Cura. And when they won a Group 3 and had ridden them other times. And so Foley comes to Santa Anita and wins himself a North American Grade 2, the San Marcos. And it was a big price, too. And I know some people latched on board. I mean, between the mandatories and the other opportunities, and also with cash money. So this is a fun horse to talk about with Sadler next time we talk to John. And of course, he's pointing toward Big Cap. He's got not just Gift Box, but he's also got a second horse, an allowance horse that he's going to try in there that he thinks is ready for prime time. I told you about Sparkyville and Bellafina, of course, and she had to work at it. Bellafina, I mean, it was very good. It was fine. But she got pressure. Mother hounded her early. And then Anaya Arab came running late for Doug O'Neill under Mike Smith. But Flavian Pratt, you know, kept Bellafina to task, as they say. And a nice performance. Nice enough. And certainly she'll march onward. Will Bellafina. And then there was True Velour, and True Velour wins the Thunder Road. You had the Sweet Life come off the turf, of course, and Apache Princess for the DeSormo team. Despite the weather woes out west, the racing, there's a few other little notes from Santa Anita. And then the most important note, as we go to take a break, and we'll come back with Kathleen O'Connell from right here at Fairgrounds on Saturday. And I think some of the notice, I mentioned it at the time while we were on the air, but the return of Dreammaker, Mark Cassie, and you'll recall last summer, Cassie told us and was very, you know, very much excited about Dreammaker. He, early on last year, had kind of a classic Empire redux about him. That was the kind of hushed tones that Cassie was using about this Tappet Colt. Didn't run so great in the hopeful. He ran okay. It was kind of chased, and and kind of, you know, meekly finished past the, you know, past tiring foes, quote unquote, and then was, you know, just in trouble from the minute they opened the gate when it came to the Breeders' Futurity. So Cassie put him away at that point. If you haven't seen it, you know, everybody was cooing about Global Campaign. This was very, very impressive. This was a very good three-year-old debut. And it seemed to have gone a little under the radar Saturday. 89 buyer, and that may be a conservative estimate. I'm looking forward to, I know Marcus actually wrote a blurb about it. And I checked with Cassie on Sunday morning when I sent him the figure and suggested Tampa, and that is seemingly where he's headed, which is only going to make the Tampa Bay Derby even that much more appealing. Win, 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 and more. Let's take a break right here. Kathleen O'Connell joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I can't understand the people of the day. See each other down, or lift a hand in way. This has been going on for years and years. Humanity's a class war on the first gear.
Back at the races. Here I was mentioning Mark Cassie and Dreammaker from Saturday. And no sooner I say that, I get the little email notification from Facebook your Facebook friends are having birthdays, and Mark Cassie. It's Mark Cassie's birthday. Who knew? He's a Valentine baby. Pretty funny. Looking forward to this conversation, as we always do whenever we get an opportunity to congratulate Kathleen O'Connell. And, you know, you've got plenty of reasons and opportunities in her great career, and well-defined, who we talked about a lot last year at two, gets a very good three-year-old victory in the Sam Davis, and it's always a pleasure to welcome Kathleen O'Connell. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Steve. It was a really good race to win.
You know, you never lost confidence either. I mean, after the frustration in the juvenile, and then even coming out of the Mucho Macho Man, you know, a lot of people said, oh, he's not a fancy three-year-old. He's not going to be and that didn't deter you.
No, he's always exhibited a specialness about him, going back to his very first career race. And I guess I can be like the proud mother. I've got excuses for the two races before this last one. But I've never lost confidence in him. He's, you know, still maturing. He's, you know, still coming around. So I still think there's more there. And the blinkers helped focus him, and Pablo really handled it well for, you know, not having ever sat on him before. But I thought, you know, it was a huge effort, and I couldn't be happier for my team or the owners and breeders.
We'll talk about the Campbells in a second. I want to go back to the blinkers a little bit. How quickly do you turn to them, and, you know, what's your blinker philosophy in general?
Well, you know, some horses need it and some don't, just like some people need glasses and some people don't. He's always been, like I say, a little mentally immature, and I had even thought about putting blinkers on him before he ever made his first start, but he was just had so much raw speed, and, you know, he did things so easily that I thought, well, you know, maybe he won't need them. But as you step up in company and steeper waters, so to speak, I just think he needed a little more focus to his game, and the blinkers seem to really help him do that, and it sure proved the factor, I think, on Saturday.
When it came to race strategy, and you mentioned Pablo Morales getting aboard, what was the thought about pace setting and where you wanted to be and what you wanted to see?
Well, I mean, the only thing I wanted to see is him forwardly placed. We had the perfect post position to do that, because if somebody went crazy sending out of the gate, I still think he'd have been able to sit. But, you know, Pablo, you know, I mean, you can talk about a strategy, and when the gate opens, it all unfails, you know, so it unravels a whole lot different sometimes than what it looks like on paper. So you have to have confidence in the jack to be able to make the right decision.
We'll pause for a second on Pablo Morales, because he's an interesting rider. People probably wouldn't realize that he's won. He's going to get to 2,000 wins. Maybe this year or early next year. And I remember back to the daddy, when he was a kid and new on the scene, and his brother was working in New York, it looked like he was going to have a bright future, and he's had, you know, a kind of a classic journeyman career. What's your you ride him on occasion, and you do well with him.
Well, I think he's a good rider. He's patient. He's got a good set of hands. He listens. You know, and to me, that's a big key word. And I think the fact that he's done so well the last few years, as with all of us, whether you're a trainer or whether you're a jockey, you're still a victim of your stock, and you're still a victim of how things unfold and getting lucky. And you still need a combination of all three of those things to move ahead in this business.
Well, he's been winning just a little under 20% at the meet, and you know, just looking back last year, 200 wins, 23%. And in fact, the last 2 years, he's won 200 races in back-to-back years. It doesn't seem to ever miss time. He's healthy, and he's got to be thrilled. This was only his, I just looked it up. This was his second graded stake win of his career. The daddy was the only other.
Exactly, and he had a smile that would go from here to Texas afterwards, so I was happy, very happy for him. He's a hard worker. He's got good work ethics. He's out early in the morning. He's out anytime you call him, and like I say, he deserves it.
Who's got his book, Kath?
Paula Bacon.
Oh, very nice. Well, that's a story in itself, what's going on with him. And of course, every time we get the opportunity to laud, the Campbells, we take that, as well, because, wins like this, you couldn't have people, committed to the sport and, to the breeding, part of things than Gil and Mrs. Campbell.
They do an excellent job. You know, they're all for the horse, and it just makes it such a pleasure to train for him.
Well, you've already won at least one Tampa Bay Derby that I know of. Talk about getting ready for the next step with Well Defined.
Well, we'll see. You know, he's been back to the track 2 days. He certainly seems no worse for the wear. He's got a good support group as far as Sebastian Madrid as his regular exercise rider.
Oh, wow.
And we all know how many races he won, and
yeah,
Jose Gutierrez, that's worked for me for 18 years and won his 1,000th race on one of my horses, although he rode most of his career finger like some places. He's his regular breeze rider, and his groom Dante's been with me quite a while, so he's got a good support group, and, you know, we'll just figure out the best next possible step for him, but it would be nice to have a repeat.
Mile in the eighth, and you know, you look at the breeding with distinction out of the Medaglia d'Oro mare, the way he moves, certainly, and he's not speed crazy. I mean, he took advantage, as you said, of the way things unfolded, but you know, speculate on mile and an eighth and beyond.
Well, like I say, it's all going to be, you know, with most of these horses, especially they're young, they haven't been raced a lot, you always seem to be a victim of the trip. But as I said, he is maturing mentally. He isn't speed crazy. So, you know, would I change his whole running style? No. I still think there's things that he likes, but we'll go from there.
Well, well-defined and comes back and really puts the spurs to the three-year-old season and wins the Sam Davis, the grade three, and we'll go from there. I also, Kath, mentioned that, you know, for those that get frustrated when three-year-olds bubble to the surface on the Derby trail, and then if they are successful, they disappear. He's not going to disappear. He's a gelding. And so if people want a horse to be a fan of, and, you know, with your ability to keep him, you know, healthy and sound and happy, this horse could be around a good long while.
Well, we're hoping so, because that's his only focus in life.
Exactly. Well, I want to focus on one other thing before I let you go, because everybody wants to go out on a nice Valentine's dinner tonight. Will On With God help them in the 10th today at Gulfstream?
Well, we're hoping she shows up. She's going to have to pick up her game face a little. The race is a little tough, but you know, she's due to run. She's ready to run. So we're just hoping that she moves up a little to the next level, because she will have to step up her game a little.
Well, give us a little bit about her, because you obviously wouldn't ship over if you didn't think that you know she fit.
Well, you know, a lot of these you're still uncharted waters. So her first race, she definitely got off a step slow, and that's very devastating for any horse, and to be eating all the dirt and everything else like that. So I just put a line through that race completely. And the next race, of course, which she won, she, I thought, performed very gutsy performance. You know, we have a little change of rider because Louie had days, so we'll just see how it all unfolds for us.
All right. Well, certainly for the trip, being out in the seven hole in Jaramillo, nothing wrong with reaching out for him. The horse to beat, certainly a bit of both, the Michael Dubb, Jason Service filly, and they're kind of slipping in here and taking advantage of the Florida-bred portion of the condition, you know, which is... It's a mixed bag, right? When considering the Florida program, Kathleen, and the kind of nice horses it produces, when they do have these Florida bred, you know, designations, you're still running against heavy heads.
Exactly, a good Florida bred can run with anybody, and I've always thought that, and I'm a firm believer.
Well, and as it happens, bit of both. She also, you know, this was the horse that you. You know, you started, and so you know plenty about her going into this.
Exactly, and, you know, she really hadn't performed up to expectations, but, you know, you always hear through the rumor mill that, you know, she was sick, so she's got excuses, so she could very well show up today.
And Darsan, after that big debut for Maiden 50, obviously the offers poured in.
Exactly. She got a huge buyer off the race, which was an 83, which she hasn't come close to yet. But again, like I say, she was sick, and I'm sure she's ready to rebound from that. So we'll just have to see who shows up today.
Well, and of course, it's one of those funny dynamics. You're happy for your client, and you know, that's something that a trainer, you know, trainer is doing the client a favor when they bring a horse along that, you know, that gives the client a chance to make some money, take some money off the table.
It's always bittersweet, but you got to look at it this way, Steve. They have a horse habit, so they have to get enough money to support their horse habit. So.
Exactly. The Darsan people who do a lot of breeding and big part of the game. Kathleen, well done, and we'll see you. We'll be in for Tampa Bay Derby week and looking forward to it, and hope everything, you know, goes well toward that.
All right. Well, as always, thank you very much, and you have a happy Valentine's Day.
You too, Kathleen. Kathleen O'Connell, everybody. And you know, we talked when Kathleen got to 2,000 wins. She's already slapped another 47 on. Since then, it's unbelievable. She just, I called her a legend on Saturday, and as widely respected as anybody out there, Kathleen O'Connell. Let's take a break and come back. I'm going to catch up with Johnny D, Steve Haskins ahead, and speaking of bittersweet, I provoked the other evening because, again, you know, I mentioned the Facebook message that it was you know, birthdays and Mark Cassie among others, and the other day I went through the little memories reminder, and it was Mick Martin's birthday, and I, over the years, he's been dead 7 years, and I don't know, every 2 or 3 years I, you know, send out a social media reminder, and it provoked a huge reaction on both Twitter and Facebook because he was a special character and a gifted artist with the camera and a news hound. Wherever he went, news popped up. And Steve Askin, you know, who they had a lot of fun adventures together. You've heard Steve, and I'm sure he'll recount at least one of them here. But he wrote a column, and overnight or the last day or so, he realized he wanted to write something, and he wrote a beautiful piece that I read this morning about his adventures with Mike Martin, and he's missed. Everybody had tons of friends. And he did. You should have seen, if you haven't seen it, the photographers that he helped. That was really told you a lot. He didn't have to help young photographers and amateur photographers, but he always went out of his way for them. And so many of them, you know, expressed their appreciation for him. So I'm sure Steve Haskin will talk about him when we visit with Steve later. Right now, Johnny D, back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund direct deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're going to love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.